بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآل سيدنا محمد The second resource or source for drawing out Islamic rulings is Sunnah. We said Sunnah is the same or the action, the deed, or tacit approval of ma'sum, taqdir. Now let's explain all these things. First of all, ma'sum means infallible. Alhamdulillah, in Aqaid, we discussed in details the concept of infallibility. And we said that the Prophet and Imams alayhi salam were infallibles in the sense that not only they didn't commit any sin, but they were also protected by Allah from doing mistakes, making mistakes. They didn't make mistakes, they didn't do unintentional sins. And we mentioned arguments for that in Aqaid. Intellectual arguments and argument from Quran that we have. So ma'soom is the one that has the quality of isma, infallibility. And the second thing is qawl. We said sunnah includes qawl of ma'soom, saying of ma'soom. Whatever is said by the Prophet or Imams and includes a ruling that is hujjah for us in fiqh. Fi'lul ma'soom, the practice of ma'soom, what he has done is hujjah, because they don't make mistakes, they don't do anything wrong, so what they do is hujjah for us. Of course, inshallah, when we go into detailed discussions, we would realize that there is a difference between a text which explains the saying of ma'soom and a text which explains the action of ma'soom. Although both are hujjah, but when it comes to the text, then you have more ground for ijtihad, because you can, for example, benefit from the generality of the text. But when it comes to the action, you have to keep to the minimum. For example, if Rasulullah says, do something, we say, this is siqatul amr, siqatul amr, zahiratun fil wujud. But if Rasulullah did something, we cannot say this is zahirun fil wujub. Is it clear? When he did something, it can be because it was wajib, or because it was mustahab, or because it was mubah. So you have to find out what would be implications of saying or deeds. Inshallah, gradually we come to this. Inshallah. My job is to make sure that you appreciate the depths of the discussions without being frightened. So I have a very difficult task to keep your appetites open, but also not to frighten you. So we have the deeds, the sayings, and taqreer. What is taqreer? You know iqrar. Iqrar means to admit, to confess, okay? Declaration, for example, for shahadatayn, say al-iqraru bil-lisan, when you declare by your tongue, it's iqrar. So iqrar means what?
To declare.
To declare, to admit, to confess. What is taqreer? Taqreer means something is done by someone or by people and Ma'soom let it go. He didn't stop, either physically, verbally, you know, in different ways. He didn't stop it. He didn't mind. This is taqreer, like let it go. Means a kind of tacit approval. He didn't say, I am happy with this. If he says, I am happy with this, then it becomes qawl.
Yeah, yes.
He didn't do it also himself. Otherwise, fair. But if you know that people in the time of Ma'soom did something, and Ma'soom was aware of that, okay? So people in the presence of Ma'soom, they did something, and Ma'soom didn't prohibit, didn't ask them to stop. You realize that this is right. This is okay. Because Ma'soomin never keep silent when something wrong happens. Okay? Sometimes people use this also for ulama. But you have to be careful. For example, once one of the brothers, you know, was driving fast, and he said, I saw when I drive fast, you didn't say anything, so I took it as approval. This is not good reason. Maybe at that time I was thinking about something else. Maybe I didn't notice his driving. Maybe I felt, you know, for example, shy to say something, and this was not a matter of, for example, wajib, you know, that I have. So you cannot take silence of alim always as a sign of approval. Okay? Sometimes you may yourself have been feeling this as a teacher. For example, if your students make many mistakes, for example, when you have recitation circles, yeah? So, for example, a person reads one line and makes 10 mistakes. If you mention all the 10 mistakes, then he cannot read the second line. So sometimes as a teacher, as a muallim, as a scholar, you have to ignore some mistakes. Yes? So don't take the tacit approval of non-ma'soom as hujjah. Check with them. So don't say, you know, I did this and Sheikh didn't say anything, so I take it as an approval. No. Sheikh has sometimes maybe his mind, you know, somewhere else, or Sheikh maybe has some hesitation to say something. There are many, many different things. Sometimes we wait to see whether that person repeats this or it's the same only one time, you know. Sometimes you can ignore if something is not repeated. So there are many, many things. But when it comes to Ma'soomin, because they were responsible for explaining Sharia by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their actions were taken as guideline for all Muslims to come, generation after generation, they had different role. Is it clear? So, taqreer al-ma'soom is also hujjah. So as a summary, the late Shaykh Fazli says, As-sunnatu hiya kullu ma yaquluhu al-ma'soom أو يفعله أو يقره. Whatever Ma'soom says or does or approves. Or let's continue. مما يتصل بالتشريع وبيان الأحكام. Of course, what Ma'soom does or says or lets be performed in issues related to fiqh. If it is, for example, issues related to, you know, something, for example, very personal or something about other aspects, then we don't discuss it in usul. Okay, like Quran, after explaining what we mean by Quran, we talked about hujjiyatul Quran, Quran being a valid source. Again, here, after talking about what is sunnah, we want to talk about hujjiyah. Hujjiyah means to be hujjah, yeah? To be a valid proof, valid argument. Why sunnah is hujjah? All Muslims believe that the sunnah of the Prophet is hujjah. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him as a guide for us. He was not just supposed to recite the Quran. He was also responsible for explaining the Quran and for being a role model for us. So no Muslim can say that I believe in the Quran, but I don't believe in the Sunnah of the Prophet. The author says, يُجْمِعُ الْمُسْلِمُونَ كَافَّةً. All Muslims have agreed عَلَىٰ أَنَّ السُنَّةَ الصَّادِرَةَ عَنِ النَّبِي. The Sunnah, which is really from the Prophet, is issued from the Prophet, قَوْلًا وَفِعْلًا وَتَقْرِيرًا, whether it be his saying or deeds or approval, حُجَّةٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمًا. It's a valid proof for every Muslim man and woman. لَأَنَّهَا عِدْلُ الْقُرْآنِ فِي التَّشْرِيعِ. عِدْلُ الْقُرْآنِ, not عَدْلُ الْقُرْآنِ. عِدْلُ الْقُرْآنِ means it's like counterpart. Yeah? أَنِّي تَارِكُمْ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَانِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَتِي. And other sources. Our Sunni brothers have also actually extra reason to believe in Ahlul Bayt. Why? Because they believe all the companions of the Prophet are Hujjah. So for them, Ahlul Bayt have to be very clearly Hujjah, because they are companions of the Prophet. So they have actually more reasons than us to believe in the Ahlul Bayt, because they have all the things that we have about Ahlul Bayt, plus they believe all the companions of the Prophet are Hujjah. Of course, this is in theory. In practice, I hope practice becomes close to the theory. So they love, they respect, sometimes they act according to teachings of Ahlul Bayt, sometimes maybe they don't, but theoretically, they should have no hesitation in acting according to the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Then the next discussion is about how are we going to draw the rulings from Kitab and Sunnah. There are some common issues here, and there are some exclusive issues. When you want to understand, for example, a ruling about Salat from Quran or a ruling about Salat from Sunnah, some issues are common because you have a text, for example, in front of you, and you want to apply linguistic rules to draw out the ruling. But there are also some differences. For example, something that I would like you remember, maybe it's not in the book, but you should remember. Quran, when it comes to its sanad, its authenticity, it is certain. Our ulama say, قَطْعِيُّ الصُّدُورِ ظَنِّيُّ الدَّلَالَ. Remember this. Quran is قَطْعِيُّ الصُّدُورِ ظَنِّيُّ الدَّلَالَ. When it comes to ahkam, we are talking about ahkam. When it comes to ahkam, no doubt about the authenticity of Ayatul Ahkam. But their dalala, Their indication is most of the time not 100% clear. Because it is zahir, not nas, when it comes to ahkam. Because Quran speaks in a very general way. Okay? So this is why you see Muslims have different interpretations of ayatul ahkam. For example, about ayatul wuzu. They make different interpretations. Yeah? Because the text is not nas, it's zahir. Is it clear? So Quran is qat'iyyu sudur. Definitely it is from God. But dhanniyyu dalala. Its indication is dhanni. Remember, dhan technically means suspicion. Suspicion is a technical term, which means more than 50%, but less than 100 or 99%, which is etminan. 100 is yaqeen, 99 maybe is etminan. So above doubt, which is 50-50, lower than certainty and etminan. When it comes to hadith, hadith is dhanni sudur. It's not 100% clear normally. I'm not saying all the time, because the same with the Quran. When we said it's dhanni dalala, it's not always, but most of the time. Hadith about fiqh, normally they are not 100% clear that they are from ma'soom. We have to establish it by using techniques. For example, we say two just witnesses have narrated this hadith. So we accept this hadith, for example. Or one just witness, it is khabar wahid, and according to many ulama, it's hujjah. Okay? But we may not become 100% sure that this is from ma'soom. But according to the rules that we have, we can rely on this hadith. It is zanniyu sudur. But qat'iyu dalala. Normally hadith come with details. So the dalala is clear. Is it clear? This is not 100% of the cases, but just to give you an idea, when it comes to Quran, you don't need to establish the sanad. You don't need to establish the authenticity. Because it is 100% clear that this is from God. In the Quran, the difficulty is to make sure that you understood it properly. In the hadith, the understanding is less difficult because hadith normally come with more details and with more lengths. If we have 500 ayatul ahkam, when it comes to hadith about ahkam, there are thousands. So, dalala is easier, but we have extra task, and that is to establish authenticity of hadith. This is very important, especially in the school of Ahlul Bayt. We don't take any collection of hadith to be all authentic. We don't have sahih as a collection. Yes, one hadith, we check, at the end we can say this hadith is sahih. Okay? But we don't give blank check to any author and say all the hadith in this book is sahih. Is it clear? The only all authentic book is Quran. So, in the case of hadith, we have to establish authenticity of hadith. And this is a very important role of faqih. Therefore, faqih, in addition to being expert in fiqh and usul, has to be expert in ilm al-rajal, which is about the narrators of hadith, and ilm al-diraya, which is about how to classify hadith and how to understand the meanings of hadith. Okay, this is also something that I wanted to mention. Now, the author says the same concept, maybe without mentioning qat'iyyu sudur, zanniyyu dalala. So he said, we have these tasks. One is dirasatu sanad. For Quran, we don't have any problem here. Sanadul Quran, the documentation of the Quran is beyond question. Yeah, we don't have any difficulty here. Sanadul Hadith. This needs discussion. Sometimes, unfortunately, there were people who fabricated hadith. And sometimes it's not easy to understand that this is fabricated. You know, if someone says something totally irrelevant, you can realize. For example, you know, like fake notes. If someone makes a note of 30 pounds, you can easily understand that this is fake. But sometimes people make very, you know, similar notes to, for example, 20 pounds. It's difficult to find out. You need expertise. You need, nowadays, you know, sometimes a machine. Because even by looking, they cannot realize. So, with respect to hadith, there were people who used to fabricate hadith. And also there were people who didn't fabricate hadith, but they made mistakes, for example. Many times, you know, I hear a person quote something from a book, and he's an honest person, but he misquotes. Or people quote me, myself, you know. And then I realize that they didn't understand what I said. So I have to check. I'm actually very hesitant to ask someone to quote me. I normally try not to ask people to quote me. I give my own words if something is sensitive. Because people can make mistakes. Either in getting the whole idea or putting a stress. It's a very difficult thing. Sometimes people had bad memories. So they think this is what Ma'asum, for example, said, but then they make mistake. So we have to be very careful about hadith. We have to make sure that the hadith that we have received is really what Imam said, according to the best of knowledge. We cannot be 100% sure, but according to the best of knowledge. And this is why our ulama have been very careful to write down and register for us the chain of the narrators, how they have received the hadith. Our time is over, inshallah. We continue this discussion next week, and we will see how authenticity of hadith can be established. Of course, this is for us a kind of side discussion. Inshallah, in Ilm al-Rajal, in Hawza, alhamdulillah, we have two units on Ilm al-Rajal. Inshallah, we will discuss this later, but just to give you an idea, we will talk about this next week, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, rabbil alamin.